Welcome back to the Book of Jonah. We have arrived at the big fish. I call this chapter, Prophets Are Friends, Not Food. Chapter 1 ended like this. Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. This is the part that everyone remembers, and the part that makes some people think the Bible is just mythology. Do we really believe that Jonah survived inside a whale? I'm a skeptic at heart. I just question things. Because people lie. And because I'm an engineer, I look for explanations. So, first of all, it was a big fish, not necessarily a whale. And it's important to separate the story you think you know from what the Bible actually says. If you remember the fish's name as Monstro, that's Pinocchio, not Jonah. Different story. So we'll dig into the chapter in a moment, but it's worthwhile to consider first whether this is a real story or a myth or allegory. There are true believers and Bible scholars who fall on either side of this argument, and I am not the final authority, and disagreeing with me doesn't make you any less of a Christian. So I'll give my thoughts, but you should form your own. So here's what I think. As I read the story, the style of storytelling suggests to me a narrative of actual happenings. Jonah the prophet is mentioned in 2 Kings as a real man, and all the locations in the story are real places. Allegories and parables are different. Now, the primary reason to believe this is a myth is that a man can't survive inside a fish. It would take a miracle. And to that I say, yes, exactly. God performs miracles. It does say the Lord provided the huge fish, and I believe in a God who created the laws of science and who can break them if he chooses. Or, more often, he can follow those laws and just defy our expectations of what we think is possible. For example, 60 years ago, scientists were convinced that no living thing could survive sustained temperatures near boiling until 1966. When Thomas Brock found bacteria living and thriving in Yellowstone's painted pots. And their colors are spectacular. You gotta see them. They're called thermophiles. But scientists still knew that bacteria could not survive boiling water. Impossible. Until they found those too. In 1997, hyperthermophiles living in volcanic spouts along the Mid-Atlantic Ridge. And suddenly, the impossible is possible. And so many more. Have you ever seen bioluminescent sea creatures? Or search YouTube for the mimic octopus. This one is a mind blower. It can perfectly mimic 15 distinct sea creatures, change color, shape, and texture in an instant. And so well that no human knew it existed until the 1990s. The design of these creatures is phenomenal. Capabilities so far beyond human invention, it's mind-boggling. So, can God provide a fish that can swallow a man alive with air for 3 days? I'd say yes. And more importantly, remember that Jesus, the Son of God, used this story as a sign to picture his own death. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. So, I think Jonah is a literal story, and I am convinced that Jesus was literally dead for 3 days and rose to life. Jesus refers to the sign of Jonah, and I believe that sign was a real event that pointed to another real event. So, those are my thoughts. Now, let's dig into chapter 2 at verse 1. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. So this chapter is a prayer, and it reads like one of the Psalms. This is Jonah calling on God after 3 days inside the fish. Verse 2. In my distress I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead I called for help, and you listened to my cry. Jonah is in the deep. He calls it the realm of the dead. No hope for life down here in Davy Jones' locker. But remember how he got here. Back in chapter 1, he went down to Joppa, down to the ship, and down below deck. Jonah went down, 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 and the flames went higher. No, wait, that's Johnny Cash, or Social Distortion, depending on your age. The point is, it was Jonah who started the downward spiral, but God knows that sometimes we just don't look up until we hit bottom. So God skips the spiral and gets Jonah straight to the bottom. And there in the deep, Jonah finally calls for help. And he says, God listens. Verse 3, you hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. What a picture. If you see a cavernous whale belly to walk around with a lantern, that's movie stuff. Jonah is cramped in utter darkness, swirled around by seawater, seaweed, and yuck. Apparently he has a pocket of air, but no comforts. Now watch verse 4. I said, I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. Strange, I thought Jonah was running from God's presence, not banished from it. And it should be noted, as great as it is for Jonah to finally call on God, he never does take any responsibility for his actions. Still, his prayer is heartfelt, and there in the pit of darkness, Jonah is determined to look again toward the temple, the very manifestation of God's presence on earth. Verse 5, the engulfing waters threatened me, the deep surrounded me, seaweed was wrapped around my head, to the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. Man, ever felt like that? Barred in forever? No way out? This is the pit. There are no options to choose from. No survival skills that might get him out. Only one choice. Call on God and hope. Back in verse 6. But you, Lord my God, brought my life up from the pit. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord. And my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. There is always something striking to me when someone calls not just on God, but on the Lord, my God. This is personal to Jonah, and it better be. Life is ebbing away. This is no time to call on a God. Like the sea captain said, call on your God. Though you may have noticed, back on the ship, there was no indication that Jonah did. But here he does. And God hears. When Jonah could not possibly rise, his prayer did. It made it back to the temple, back to God's presence. Verse 8, those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say, salvation comes from the Lord. Pay attention here. Jonah makes vows to God. Jonah has experienced God's salvation in a very real and personal way, and he vows to proclaim it. But will he follow through? Verse 10, and the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Wow, he's still alive. He's got a second chance. Sunshine, sky, land. God gave you life again. What are you going to do with it? And I think that we have more in common with Jonah here than we realize. Paul reminds us in Ephesians that we were dead and God brought us back. He saved us from the pit of sin and brought us back. Do you remember that pit? Do you remember the vows you made? And here you are, sunshine, blue sky, dry land. What are you going to do with the life that God gave you? Now, if this message finds you still in the pit, call on God. And if it finds you running from God, don't worry. There's plenty of fish in the sea. I'm sure God will find you a good one.
Thanks for joining us for today's audio guide. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.